Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Monday, April 1st, 2019. And I'm your host, The Miracle Man, and I'm so glad you could come and be a part of the show. Wherever you are, whatever device you may be listening to this program using. My faith is that you just are ready to receive from the Lord whatever and everything He has for you. Praise God. Because I know that He has something for all of us. He really does. But let me think here. Well, I have part of the stuff I want to get to. I will start that out by mentioning this. McDonald's still has the cheesy bacon fries going, as well as the donut sticks. My biggest gripe is still this. Why can't I get the donut sticks all day, every day? And who says they have to switch over the fryers at 10:30? That's my question. And my question to Burger King is, why can't I get French toast sticks whenever I want them? I know, right? Would you be thinking the same thing? I know, hashtag thoughts of a foodie. But at least they still have them. The good news is they still have them. And McDonald's still has the donut sticks. However, let me just tell you this. Listeners, I want to tell you how you can tell others how they can be a part of the show. Here's what they can do. They can be a part of the show. You can tell them that they can go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, the website is blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you'll want to type in Upfront Entertainment. Once again, that's Upfront Entertainment. Once you type that in, you'll see a button that says, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. You'll type in Upfront Entertainment. You'll see a link that says Live and Large. Then you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. You'll want to click on that button that says Miracle Man. After that, you will see a button, a follow button. I want you to click the follow button because then you're going to get notified as we get ready to do our shows. Amen. You get notified as we get ready to do our shows. And I want you to just feel free to be able to join me on whatever device you want to. And remember that it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. It's never a bad idea, always a smart one. But so It's always a smart idea. Never a bad one. Ever. Okay. Okay. But anyhow, we got the website. We also have a number where you can call in and be a part that way. The number to call to be a part of the show is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and then go ahead and press 1 once you call in. Once you get on there, you'll go ahead and press 1, and then you'll be taken through a call screener. And we'll answer the phone, and we'll ask where you're from, and what you want to discuss, and we'll let you on the air. As I said, you can talk about generally anything you wish to talk about, as long as it's not political. All right. Now. Coca-Cola is the best soft drink in the world, no matter what. Yes, root beer is good, very good. Yes, cream soda is awesome. And Mountain Dew has its place. Dr. Pepper, yeah, kind of, sort of. Sprite has its place. And all the other ones have their place. But not the same as Coca-Cola. Different flavors of regular, cherry, vanilla, and orange cherry. Now, I personally only drink the regular varieties, the full-calorie versions. I'm not a fan of the diet ones, nor am I a fan of the zero sugar. Because guess what, Rachel? Those zero sugars and those diet versions, those are just for pansies. They are. Well, if they're diabetic, my guess would be they probably shouldn't drink it at all. And if they do drink, and if they drink any, it should be a regular once in a while. Because that NutraSweet and stuff, not only is it not good for you, but it doesn't even taste right. And when it's even worse than the regular, and it doesn't even taste as good as the regular, that's a double whammy. The one good thing that I would find when I used to drink them in high school, back in my high school, was that they had a lot of fizz. Sometimes more than the regular. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the diet version will have more fizz? It seems like. Yeah. But that's where the good part ends, though. And I do admit, I like the fizz, but at the same time, Coke is always the winner. Whatever flavor you choose, available at a corner store near or grocery store near you. Now, the 20-ounce bottle Coke, you're going to pay, in most places, $2.09 or $2.19. I can't believe it went over $2. I think that was kind of a crime. I think they should have all just been capped at $1.99 for a 20-ounce and no higher. 5 Below still has them at $1.89, though. They were $1.69, but they chose to raise them 20 cents. But the flavors are still poor form. But They're always, Oak's always the winner. It's not a runner-up. It's not second place. It's first. All the time. Now, when it comes to some of this food stuff, some of these food places I tell you about and stuff, we got competition. Mind you, all kinds of competition. Can you get me a glass of ice water? Please. Well, folks, there is some other stuff. Krispy Kreme is always a great place to stop to get a donut if you're looking for something bursting with flavor. You can find Krispy Kreme's donuts at your local Speedway. If you're lucky enough to be in an area like Detroit or Grand Rapids, you'll possibly have a Krispy Kreme nearby. For example, 14 mile at 75, right in the parking lot of Oakland Mall, you got a Krispy Kreme donut. In Southfield, you also have a Krispy Kreme donut. I also believe there might be one downriver, down south of Detroit. There used to be a Krispy Kreme in Flint years ago, but unfortunately, they decided to shut it down. I'd like a Krispy Kreme right here, though. With the red, and the red light to always be on, so there could always be fresh hot donuts. Because I think fresh hot donuts are where it's at. I really do. I really do. The thought of it just excites me. Oh, what? Okay. Now, we're going to pray. Then I'm going to open up the Word of God to 2 Samuel chapter 1. After that, we got sports to get to. Mind you, we have a lot of sports to get to. A lot. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show. I thank you, Lord, for all of these listeners who have made the choice to be a part of this great radio program. I thank you, Lord, that they have come ready to receive everything that you have in store for them, Lord. I thank you that these people come with open minds, hearts ready to receive, and ears ready to hear of your word, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you would make yourself known in these people. I thank you, Lord, that you use me as an oracle tonight. In Jesus' name. And, Lord, I confess over the show right now that sponsors come into this program, sponsors and partners who want to help us. I thank you that finances come into the show. I thank you that more and more listeners come into this show. And most importantly, I thank you that souls come into this show. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, Amen. 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 2 Samuel chapter 1. Praise God. We're beginning with verse 1. After the death of Saul, David returned from defeating the Amalekites and stayed in Ziklag for 2 days. And on the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and the dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honor. "Where have you come from?" David asked him. He answered, "I have escaped from the Israelite camp." "What happened?" David asked. "Tell me," he said. "The men fled from the battle. Many of them fell and died. And Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." Then David said to the young man who brought him the report, "How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa," the young man said, "and there was Saul leaning on his spear with the chariots and riders almost upon him. And when he turned around and saw me, he called out to me, and I said, 'What can I do?' He asked me, 'Who are you?' 'An Amalekite,' I answered. Then he said to me, 'Stand over me and kill me. I am the throes of death, but I'm still alive.' So I stood over him and killed him, because I knew that after he had fallen, he could not survive. And I took the crown that was on his head and the band on his arm, and I brought them here to my Lord." Then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and they wept and they fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan and for the army of the Lord and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. And David said to the young man who brought him the report, "Where are you from?" "I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite," he answered. David asked him, "Why were you not afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one with his men. He called one of his men and said, "Go, strike him down." So he struck him down, and he died. For David had said to him, "Your blood be on your own head. your own mouth testified against you when you said, I killed the Lord's anointed. Verse 17. David took up this lament concerning Saul and his son Jonathan, and he ordered the men of Jonah be taught this lament of the bow. It is written in the book of Jashar. Your glory, O Israel, lies slain in your hearts. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines, lest the daughters of the Philistines be glad. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice. O mountains of Gilboa, may you have neither dew nor rain, nor fields that yield offerings of grain. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled. The shield of Saul no longer rubbed with oil from the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty. The bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied. Saul and Jonathan, in life, they were loved, and they were gracious, and in death, they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and finery, who adopted your garments with ornaments of gold. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your hearts. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful. More wonderful than that of one for one. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished. Chapter 2. We're going to read chapter 2. Then we're going to go to Hebrews 11. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah? He asked. The Lord said, go up. David asked, where shall I go? To Hebron, the Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, and Ahinoam of Jezreel, and of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each of his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron. And there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When David was told that it was the man of Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to say to them, "The Lord bless you with showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burning him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor, because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul, your master, is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." Verse 8. Meanwhile, Abner, son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishbosheth, son of Saul, and brought him over to Maanahim. He made him king over Gilead, Asheri, and Jezreel, and also was also over Ephraim, Benjamin, and all Israel. Ishbosheth, son of Saul, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. The length of time David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Abner, son of Ner, together with the men of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, left Mahanaim and went to Gibeon, son of Zeruiah. And David's men went out and met them at the pool of Gibeon. One group sat down on one side of the pool, and one group on the other side. Then Abner said to Joab, "Let's have some of the young men get up and fight hand to hand in front of us." "All right, let them do it," Joab said. So they stood up and were counted off. 12 men for Benjamin and Ishbosheth, son of Saul, and 12 for David. Then each man grabbed his opponent by the head and thrust his dagger into his opponent's side, and they fell down together. So that place in Gibeon was called Hakath Hazurim. The battle that day was very fierce, and Abner and the men of Israel were defeated by David's men. The three sons of Zechariah were there: Joab, Abishai, and Azazel. And Azazel was as fleet-footed as a wild gazelle, and he chased Abner, turning neither to the right nor to the left as he pursued him. Abner looked behind him and asked, "Is that you, Azahalal?" "It is," he answered. And then Abner said to him, "Turn aside to the right." "Or to the left. Take on one of the young men and strip him of his weapons." But Israel would not stop chasing him. Again, Abner warned Azahel, "Stop chaining me. Why should I strike you down? How could I look your brother Joab in the face?" But Azahel refused to give up. So Abner thrust the butt of his spear into Israel's stomach, and the spear came out through his back. He fell there, and he died on the spot, and every man stopped when he came to the place where Israel had fallen and died. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner, and as the sun was setting, they came to the hill of Ammah near Gaia, the way to the wasteland of Gibeon. Then the men of Benjamin rallied beyond Abner and formed themselves into a group and took their stand on top of a hill. Abner called out to Joab, "Must the sword devour forever? Don't you realize that this will end in bitterness? How long before you order your men to stop pursuing their brothers?" Joab answered, "As surely as God lives, if you had not spoken, the men would have continued the pursuit of their brothers until morning." So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the men came to a halt, and they no longer pursued Israel, nor did they fight anymore. All the night, Abner and his men marched through the Arabia. They crossed the Jordan, continued through the whole Bethron, and came to Kahanaim. Then Joab returned from pursuing Abner and assembled all his men. Besides Israel, 19 of David's men were found missing. But David's men had killed 360 Benjamites who were with Abner. They took Azahel and buried him in his father's tomb at Bethlehem. Then Joab and his men marched all night and arrived at Hebron by daybreak. Okay, really hurts to do this, but I have to say this right now. Until next time, God first, God always. So long.